Egalitarian scholars, those who believe men and women are equal in worth and equal in function, argue that male hierarchy is the result of the fall. Initially, God had created man and woman to live harmoniously as equals. But when God cursed Eve for her sin, he not only promised to increase her pain in childbirth, but also decreed, "Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." So hierarchy, they assert, was not part of God's original intent, but a tragic consequence of sin. Yet because Jesus conquered sin and death at the cross, this consequence could be reversed. In the community of those redeemed by Christ, relationships between men and women should revert to their harmonious pre-fall state, and hierarchy should be eliminated. I naturally gravitated to the egalitarian view. It made sense and offered a means of escaping the male-dominated system I found so oppressive. However, complementarian scholars, those who believe men and women are equal in worth but different or complementary in function, argue that God's curse against Eve did not establish male hierarchy. According to them, God established male hierarchy prior to the fall as part of the created order described in Genesis 2. God created the man first and then the woman. He also commanded the man not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, leaving him with the responsibility of communicating this rule to the woman. Adam's leadership, then, was not the result of sin, but part of God's original design. Yet even within the complementarian camp, there exist two views concerning God's pronouncement in Genesis 3 that the man will rule over the woman. Similar to egalitarians, some view this pronouncement as part of the curse against women and a perversion of the relationship God intended between the sexes. Though God intended men to lead, they argue, he did not intend them to oppress and dominate. The cross, then, fundamentally changed the nature of male leadership from oppressive rule described in Genesis 3 to the kind of servant leadership Jesus modeled and advocated. As it says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. However, other complementarians teach that God's pronouncement of rule is not a perversion of God-ordained leadership, but is actually a prescription of how male leaders should operate. As Rusty Lee Thomas writes in the Kingdom Leadership Manual, God's command, "He shall rule over you," was intended to protect and provide for women and children. To these complementarians, men ruling over women is a good thing. I've even heard some complementarians assert that since Eve was deceived first, women are more gullible than men and for their own good need their husbands to make their decisions for them. I found this latter view extremely demeaning and offensive. There was no way I could embrace a view portraying such a low opinion of women. I found the other complementarian view palatable, but more of a theory than actual practice. Had I witnessed more servant leadership among men in the church, I might have been more open to it. As it was, male leadership often felt a lot like rule, and I had a natural aversion to it. Even so, I discussed the issue numerous times with my senior pastor, hoping to gain some insight. He would often point to 1 Timothy 2:11 through 15. "A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety." I hated those verses, but I couldn't deny that they seemed to prohibit women from teaching or leading men. But the passage seems so odd. Why would women be saved through childbearing? Some scholars actually argued that it meant women would be saved from dying in childbirth. Others said it pointed to Christ, the Savior of the world, being born of a woman. And still others said it meant that women should not violate their role by teaching and preaching, but should assume their proper place as the mother of children. None of those interpretations seemed compelling or convincing to me. Plus, I questioned the wisdom of basing an entire doctrine on one dubious passage. However, there were other passages that supported exclusive male leadership. My pastor often referenced 1 Corinthians 11:3 and Ephesians 5:23, where Scripture refers to the husband as the head of the wife. This, he said, shows a God-ordained hierarchy in which the man leads and the woman follows. He also referenced 1 Timothy 3:2, where Scripture says an overseer should be the husband of one wife, apparently assuming